This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Phil and Chun Lee. Now, even though the number of COVID cases in Malaysia has been decreasing, we continue to deal with the long-term impacts of the pandemic, one of which is long COVID.
In Malaysia, around 10 to 15% of people infected with COVID-19 are suffering from prolonged post-infection symptoms. And for people recuperating from categories 4 and 5 of COVID-19, around 60% of them continue to have symptoms even after more than 3 months.
Besides, a follow-up study done in China found that more than half of people hospitalized with the infectious disease still have at least one symptom even after 2 years. As more continue to live with the uncertainty of these prolonged symptoms, what needs to be done to manage this concerning phenomenon?
For some answers, we speak to Dr. Fauzi Anshar, respiratory medicine physician. Good morning, Dr. Fauzi. Thanks very much for speaking with us today. Can we start with just getting an idea of how prevalent long COVID is in Malaysia? And how would we distinguish long COVID from, say, ordinary or regular COVID?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for inviting me. Okay, the prevalence of COVID is about 65%. That's the data from Ministry of Health. There is an overlap between the symptoms of COVID and also long COVID. For example, they may be cough, shortness of breath. But long COVID, the distinctive feature would be it lasts longer and it can last more than 3 months. So if it lasts longer than 2 months, 3 months, 3 months is the defining criteria, we'll call it long COVID.
And what are the available treatments for long COVID patients and how successful have this been?
Okay, first of all, we need to define the people or categorize the people who have long COVID. So people who think they may have had COVID or have been diagnosed with COVID, if they have persistent symptoms such as cough, shortness of breath, lethargy, brain fog, they should consult their doctor. There's no one test to specifically diagnose long COVID. The doctors will take a history, examine the patients, and then look at the imaging, for example, chest X-ray and or plus minus CT scan. And then the treatment depends on, number one, what symptoms patients have. Do they have any other diseases that can flare up? And then are there specific symptoms that can be disabling, especially for young people? I'll give an example. I've seen many patients, severe patients in category 4 or 5, who've come back to see me with severe deconditioning of their body, fatigue, brain fog, shortness of breath. So again, we go back to principles, see whether they have any underlying conditions that have flared up or undiagnosed, treat them properly. And then see what other symptoms that they may have. Okay, the treatment can be divided into what patients can do themselves at home and what specific things that we can offer them. For example, if they have fatigue, they can pace themselves, they can see, they can ascertain what is priority for them to do, and then take periodic rest so that they avoid crashes in their energy level. Breathing exercises may help, and certain symptomatic treatments such as painkillers for headaches may also help. But I always emphasize on 4 basic things. For example, they need to have good sleep, they need to have good nutrition and pay attention to protein, good hydration, and have some exercise. For those who are still working, I do ask employees to be more lenient to the workers because the patients who suffer from COVID, they really suffer from fatigue and brain fog. And that can be quite disabling.
Yeah, and we talked about just now that, you know, category 4 and 5 COVID-19 patients likely suffer from long COVID. But is there a case where, you know, someone who had very little symptoms when they were positive with COVID experienced long COVID as they recover?
Oh, absolutely. In the days when we had Delta variant, the disease was severe. Many patients ended up with category 3, 4, 5, even death, unfortunately. We have seen a lot of people having long COVID. But in the days of Omicron variants that we're having at the moment, I do see people who have no symptoms whatsoever or have very mild symptoms. And then they seem to have persistent symptoms such as fatigue and brain fog later on. And it's coming more, becoming more and more prevalent, especially in the younger people, ages between 30 and 40, and more commonly females, I've found. We're still collecting data, so I'm waiting for the for data from our Ministry of Health to see really how prevalent it is.
All right, we'll be waiting for that data as well, Dr. Fauzi. I mean, I think everyone would want to better understand how long COVID is evolving in the country. What do you make of the Ministry of Health's, I suppose, policy response to long COVID? And what do you think needs to be done to ensure that resources are allocated to deal with this phenomenon?
I think the ministry has done a good job in highlighting that there is a big problem that is looming in the horizon for our population, people who've had COVID in the past, whatever severity it could be. It could even be asymptomatic. There's always the potential of them having COVID, and it has implications on our workforce as more and more people can have problems, and it results in them not being able to work properly. So the ministry have raised the awareness in the media, and also have set up working group to publish guidelines. The guidelines was published end of last year, and I must say it is quite comprehensive. And they've also asked public hospitals in Ministry of Education, and also private hospitals to set up rehabilitation clinics and programs. I take my own practice as an example in Prince Court Medical Center. I see patients coming back after they've recovered from COVID. I assess them properly. If I think that they do require rehabilitation, to be put in rehabilitation, I refer them to my rehabilitation physician. Of course, the Ministry of Health can do more in the sense that they can put in more resources, as in staff, money, of course, in the rehabilitation program, because these people need proper rehabilitation in order to get back to a good function level, get back to work.
Dr. Fauzi, are vaccines effective in reducing the chances of getting long COVID?
The short answer is yes. People who have not been vaccinated against COVID and become infected do have a higher risk of developing post-COVID symptoms. Basically, prevention is better than cure. If you don't get COVID, there's no chance of getting long COVID. But in the days of Omicron, it's very difficult to avoid getting COVID. We're not certain how strong the protection is when people have COVID vaccination. Multiple studies have suggested that vaccinated people who do develop long COVID, they have less severe symptoms compared to unvaccinated people.
So just staying on the vaccine theme, the Health Ministry has offered a second COVID-19 vaccine booster dose for those aged 60 and above and for adults with chronic illnesses. Can you perhaps pass out the science and data behind a second booster dose?
Okay, certainly. Thank you for that question. That's a very interesting question in this day and age. The evidence for the first booster is strong. There's no doubt about it. That's why the government has made the decision to downgrade certain groups of people's vaccination status to not fully vaccinated if they don't get the booster. Or let's say, for example, people who've had two doses of Sinovac, they're age 45. If they don't get the booster, their status becomes partially vaccinated. People who are over 60, they get two doses of AZ or Pfizer, also the vaccination status becomes downgraded. The science behind that is that we know that our antibody level, our immunity wanes with time after the first booster, especially in immunocompromised people. That includes people over the age of 60. And immunity against the new Omicron variant is also reduced. I'll give an example. The vaccine effectiveness for mRNA vaccine, that's the Pfizer-BioNTech, against the Omicron variant, drops to 49% after 4 to 6 months in immunocompromised people, versus only a drop to 84% in those who have good immune system. Okay, the best evidence so far that we have for the second booster or fourth dose comes from Israel. The vaccination effectiveness for mRNA vaccine for hospitalization, it increases as we get more booster. For example, if people have had, just had two vaccines, the risk, the rate of hospitalization is 50. So the risk of hospitalization is 55%. But not being hospitalized, I beg your pardon, is 55%. But if a fourth dose is given, the rate of the risk of not being hospitalized goes up to 95%.
Okay.
So people are better off having the second booster.
All right, Dr. Fauzi, thank you very much for sharing your insights. That was Dr. Fauzi Anshar, respiratory medicine physician, talking to us about long COVID and the things we need to keep in mind as this situation evolves. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.